Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your host, Sean, my weebalicious friend, Danny. How are you, man?
Dude, I'm actually a lot happier than I thought I would be, because I had a crisis narrowly averted yesterday.
Did you lose your waifu pillow and you found it?
No, worse than that. I went to turn on my Xbox and it was applying an update and it was at 66%. And so I'm like, all right. So I let it sit there for a while and it was stuck at 66%. And so I was like reading and they're like, we'll do this. So I just did the standard, like, quote unquote, soft reset where you use the power button to turn it off.
Yep.
And it turned it back on and it went up to 72% and it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let it sit and I let it run overnight. I'm like, well, maybe it just needs time. And so I woke up. Actually, this happened Friday night. And so Saturday morning, I woke up and it was still at the same point. Mm-hmm. And so I had to do not a full factory reset, but there's like a different way to reset where you have to like hold in the button that syncs up the controller,
mm-hmm.
the eject mm-hmm. button, and the power button. You have to push those three like at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
After you've like made sure everything's powered down, like you turn it off and then you unplug it for like the 30 seconds. And then you get in and you're able to either like do a full factory reset or just a reset where you just basically reset the operating system and you kick your profile off, but you get to keep all your games and shit.
Gotcha.
So I just had to like do a small reset up, like reset my country and my language and log back in as myself.
Gotcha.
And luckily it worked.
Dude, I've noticed the Xbox, my Xbox is starting to have hiccups too. It hasn't happened in a little bit, but I'm just like, it's like old Betsy's going down.
Right. And it's like, I just bought a couple games and I'm like, I'm not going to buy a new system to play a couple games when the next one's coming out soon. I don't know, man. Like I was, cause even one time I turned it on and it took a lot longer to boot up than it should have.
Yeah.
And it kind of like you said, no, please, don't die.
You gotta live. You got like six more months, please.
Yes. I mean, I guess it would be like two, though. I couldn't be too mad because, you know, between the PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 2, the PlayStation 4, the Xbox 360, and the Xbox One, I haven't had one console like just randomly die on me.
Hmm. Well, lucky you.
Right. I mean, I hope you hear that. Good.
I hope they all betray your trust the following weekend. Just all kill themselves.
Dude, don't put that evil on me.
Oh man, Danny, what are you drinking, man? It's hot out there.
Yeah, I figured I'd go full Florida. I mean, it's not humid, but it is like, yesterday was like 100 degrees, today's like 90, so I figured that's perfect Florida stout weather.
It's a Florida winter right now.
Right. So I busted out a beer. It's called Nunca Muerta. It's by, it's like the most collabed beer I've ever drank in my entire life, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's Arrow Lodge Brewing is the main brewer. And their brewery is actually pretty cool. Like, they actually fill with the motif. Like, you go in there and they have, like, benches around, like, a fake campfire. And they even have, like, a couple of, like, oversized tents with tables in it so you can sit and, like, drink your beer and eat your food.
Mm-hmm.
It's like tents. And they have, like the animal trophies mounted on the wall and different things like that.
Oh, boy.
So their logo is, like, a hop with antlers.
That's pretty funny.
But then so it's a collaboration with 8-Bit Brewing in Murrieta, California, New Glory, Beer Zombies, and the Hop Squad.
That's like too, that looks, that sounds like too many chefs in the kitchen, man.
Right. And so each brewery, it's kind of cool, but the kind of cool thing they did was each brewery, so that there's three breweries and like two groups, quote unquote. The Beer Zombies and the Hop Squad aren't breweries,
mm-hmm.
but they all went to like each of the three breweries and they brewed their own a beer, a different beer at each brewery.
Interesting.
So I got the Nunca Muerta. It's a Imperial Stout that comes in at... I should have... No follow-up questions for myself, apparently.
we have that rule in place for a reason, Daniel, because we're not professionals.
No. Like, well, it has all the information except the ABV. Oh, never mind. There it is. It's literally right in front of the bottle.
See, it's, well, it's too bad that the podcast doesn't have a vision plan.
Well, I'm used to, like, being in small print on the side, but this time they just, like, it's, like, hidden in plain sight. So it's 12%, and it's an Imperial Stout with conchas, coffee, vanilla, and Haitian cacao nibs.
Oh, boy. That sounds pretty delicious.
Dude, it's amazing. It almost tastes, and it's I've had it in my fridge for a little while. I almost, to the point where I forgot I had it. I was at the store that I originally bought it at, Smart Time Liquor, out in Grand Terrace. And I saw it on the shelf, and I'm like, I was like picking up some things. I'm like, oh, I should get one of those. That I remember I wanting to get one. And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait, I'm pretty sure I have one in the back of my fridge.
Oh, that's funny.
And so it almost has like a caramelly, like lot coffee drink, like a fancy Starbucks caramel drink, but not as sweet. Oh man, that's so good, dude. It's like, yeah, it's like drinking coffee. I mean, I don't know if it's quite as good as last week's coffee, but it's definitely up there.
Oh, nice.
How about you there, Shawnee boy?
So I found another bottle from 5050 Brewing, their Eclipse Barrel Age series. One is called Banana Fritter. This one is a barrel-aged Imperial Stout with bananas, cinnamon, and sugar, and this is aged in rum barrels. Man, this is, like, the other one was good, but I almost think this one's even better.
Yeah?
The banana and the cinnamon and the sugar just go really well, and it, like, you get the stout, you get the nice, beautiful, dark stout, but it just gives it, like, that little sweetness you want in a fancy dessert beer. And the rum barrels just kind of attack that harsh stout imperial taste and just knocks it down. So it's just like, it just feels like you're just drinking a nice, like a dark banana drink. Like it's just one of the, this is a very good, barrel aged, drink. And I think honestly, since I've had two, this 2019 Eclipse, series has just been really phenomenal. Like, I think I've seen one more out there that I have to conquer. So now I'm committed to, like, driving to the liquor store and getting something. So or trying to go find it. So I could say I've had them all.
You've gone full Pokemon. You've had your, as the cool kids say, you've had your, horizontal.
Yeah. I got to catch them all. Eclipse Brewing. I mean, 5050 Brewing.
So, I did some research, Sean. I did a follow-up research to a follow-up question. And this is how wide I am. And it's one of those things I knew I should have. As soon as I saw the answer, I knew the answer, but I'm an idiot, so I
forgot. How wide are you, Danny?
So I'm like, what the heck is conchas? Like, conchas in the beer, right?
Yeah.
It's the Mexican sweetbread that's like everywhere. You know, the bread that's like, and it gets its name because it looks like a shell, and that's what a concha is, a shell. And I'm like, I'm like embarrassed, man, of myself.
You're a terrible Southern Californian.
Right. So it's the bread that's like almost like in a ball, and then it has the pink, like the pink or green frosting on top of it, or the sugar. It's that bread.
I gotcha. I know. So I know what you're talking about.
So that's where it gets its like creamy and sweetness from.
Gotcha. Makes
total sense to me now.
It does. It does make a lot more sense. That's too funny, man.
So, you know, like, pretty much we can't go and do fun things at all anymore.
No, we can't have nice things anymore.
So there's a company that's kind of figured out a way around this, Sean.
Okay, which one is it?
So they're not in association with the energy drink, but there's this company, Rockstar Beer Festivals, and like they're geniuses. They came out with a way to do virtual beer festivals.
Interesting. So
what you do is you buy your ticket, and then they send you 10 beers. They send everybody that buys a ticket the same 10 beers, and then you're basically like virtually walking through the beer festival, and then they like basically tell you, like, it's almost like a guided audio tour at a library or something, like, or a museum.
Yeah.
Where it's like, now drink beer number one.
Please drink beer number one. As you noticed, this beer has a beautiful 11.4% ABV, and with notes of banana, cinnamon, and sugar.
And also, please note the second beer. Wait, hold on a second. Let me find out where they put the ABV. See, I wouldn't be a good tour guide.
No. You got to get your robotic voice kind of going as well. So it right. sounds like it's the computer talking to you.
So, you know, I was listening to another podcast kind of talking about this. I got an email from them a while ago.
Hey, make sure you change your laundry.
I will. That was like, I forgot to change. I was like, as soon as you text me we're changing the time, I'm like, I should turn off my alarm. And then I forgot to turn off my alarm. So that was my cue to get ready to get my stuff together to start recording, even though we're in the middle of recording.
It happens, bud.
So, but it's like, are they going to like virtually have you step over the dude that's like puked all over himself on the way to the porta potty and passed out?
Maybe. I mean,
is there going to be like a 15-minute line before you can open the second beer?
Hey man, we could do the San Francisco one on May 2nd. Look at us go.
Right. But I think you have to give them I don't know what the cutoff is to like order the beer, but yeah, they have multiple they're doing it for multiple dates around the country.
Mm.
So
fair enough. This seems to be a real fucking West Coast thing. What the fuck, man?
Because we don't have those fucking like prohibition draconian laws about beer, man. We don't have to like take a tour of the brewery every time we want to order a beer at a brewery. Yes, I've seen your fermenter 100 times. Can I please just get a flight?
I understand how this shit is made. Stop telling me about it.
I don't need to sign a legal affidavit that I've seen how beer is made to order a beer.
Oh, man.
By signing this, you are not committing perjury. I have seen this brewery. Oh, man. Oh, man. But then some, you know, a lot of, and small businesses, too, but not just breweries, are kind of like, look, if you can't make it out or you don't want to leave the house, at least, like, order gift certificates. Like, give us some money, like, now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of don't understand, though, because, like, if people are ordering, like, hundreds of dollars of gift certificates, and then when you open, it's like everyone shows up with gift certificates, so you're not making money anyways then.
Yeah.
But it's even worse. Some breweries are doing what they're called beer bonds. So it's almost like money bonds. Like
war bonds? Money.
War bonds where you buy like a war bond for like $50, and if you don't cash it in for a certain amount of time, then you get more money later. Like you get like – if you buy a $50 beer war bond, you'll get like $80 back in like 2 years if you don't cash it in, you know?
Are you kidding me? Is this a real thing? Am I investing in the wrong thing?
But here's the problem. Is it is borderline illegal.
Mm.
And by borderline, I mean quite possibly very illegal.
I'm just saying, if the government will take money from me and then give me extra money back, why can't the beer companies do it?
Right. But the problem is like some places, it's like if you do like a $50 beer bond, like in like 6 months or a year or whatever, you'll get like $80 mm-hmm. worth of stuff. But as Seven Stills knows, if you you can't give away gifts or you can't have giveaways to customers worth more than like a couple dollars. So I don't know if this is considered a giveaway or exactly how they're filing these as not to be breaking the law and have their, you know, beer license taken away.
Nice. This seems like you have to put a lot of money into it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but
I'm just saying.
You get a little bit more back. It's like a Groupon without having to go through a Groupon.
Look at this. If I pay $100 now in 3 years, I could get $250.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're guaranteed to get money back from, like, a war bond or money bonds or whatever, but...
War bonds.
That's how they started, was, like, in World War II. Like, but, like, you're guaranteed to get money back, but it's only, like, one, like, a half a percent or 1%. It's not like you're going to, you know, get rich off of it. It's not like, you know, no. Playing the stock or anything fun like that.
Yeah. That is true.
Oh, man. So, speaking of war and stuff...
War never changes.
China has officially, like, added more bans and restrictions to their video game rules. Because they've already pretty much banned, like, games where, like, you have, like, symbols of death, like skeletons and zombies.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, like, League of Legends had to modify one of their characters because it was a skeleton. Was. Now that, well, and everywhere else it's like skeleton except China.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and they've even, and at one point they even tried to put limits on like how many hours kids under a certain age could play on like play video games.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're pretty much trying to ban all online games in general, especially ones with like contact to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, not that long ago I got called racist because I was talking about how, like, the Chinese, the people from China have a reputation for being rude as tourists. And, like, that's racist. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, how is that racist? And I'm like, because you're lumping all the Chinese together. And I'm like, no, I didn't say they are. I just said they have a reputation, A. And B, if it's not true, then why is China itself putting out, like, PSAs about when you travel to other countries, don't be a dick? To the point where they also made, like social points. Where like you can't travel even within the country if your social points are too low.
You got a point.
Like if you're, you know, so China has a reputation of, in video games especially, of they don't care how they win as long as they win. So there's a lot of cheating going on. To the point where a lot of games have China only servers, and the ones that don't, the people in pretty much every other country is asking them to make Chinese-only servers.
Cheetos! But it's the only way that Winnie the Pooh could be good.
Right. And so... But then there's a problem, too. Like, in Minecraft, this group of people got together and they built this library and they put... Somehow they were able to put all this, like... these books in there that were censored in like other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't censor what's in the game. Right. So people in China would go, are just like, well, I'm playing Minecraft. And then they go in the library and read all these like books that they're not allowed to read normally.
Yeah.
And so, but the main one that's causing them to ban online video games, the most awful offender is one you would not expect, Sean. And by me saying that, it's one you'll name, probably.
It's the Animal Crossing.
Ding, ding, motherfucking ding.
Fuck yeah! Give me a prize!
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Of course, all that Redditing has made me really good at watching cute things be twisted and tormented and put on the bad part of the internet.
Well, I wonder if it's because, like, you know, there's no game that symbolizes capitalism harder and faster than Animal Crossing.
True.
Like, you're basically just in debt immediately, and you have to, like, work to pay off your debt by a guy who's wearing a robber's mask the whole time.
Fucking trash pandas.
Oh, man. So, yeah, but it'll be interesting to see, because China, like, is one of the countries that also has one of the top, like, competitive gaming teams as far as, like, countries mm-hmm. go. Them and, like, North Korea. It's weird how China and North Korea are, like, the top gaming like online professional gaming countries, they always win all the tournaments and stuff. But if they're not letting kids play games, then in a couple years, maybe the U.S. might be number one again. We took the number of COVID deaths away from them. We'll take the number of online video game wins away from them as well.
Take that, motherfuckers.
So I heard something interesting, Sean, about one of our favorite animes.
Don't you bring me down, Daniel. Don't you bring me down.
This is happy news.
Okay, good.
At least for me. This for me. I don't know, man. You might hate it.
Okay.
So...
are they doing a spinoff of that fucking chick you like?
No, no.
Okay, then I should be okay.
You don't like Mako?
It's not that I dislike Mako. I'm just saying I do love, was it Ruka a lot better?
True. And I will say, as much as I like Mako in Kill la Kill, I like her because she's in there the perfect amount.
That is true. She is very... they did a very fantastic job of making her character break up the tension and help the story, like, kind of continue forward.
Right. Either she, like, explained the plot, she motivated the main character, or she just added some much-needed, like, comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's like, if they made a spinoff or a sequel where she's featured, it would be very much like Cars 2, where everyone's like, remember how much everybody liked Toe Mater? Let's make him the star of the second movie. And then when everyone, they're like, no. We liked him because he wasn't in it that much.
Right?
It's like I like salt on my food. I don't like my food to taste like salt. This more has to do with the way Kill la Kill is named, Sean.
Gotcha.
So there's this word, it's Japanese word, S-E-I-F-U-K-U.
Mm-hmm.
And that could either be school uniform or a conquest. And then in Japanese, like the English word kill is pronounced kiru, K-I-R-U. But the Japanese word K-I-R-U, kiru, means to cut.
Interesting.
So basically the name of the show Kill la Kill is a fucking pun, Sean. I hope you're proud of myself.
You put it all together. I feel like you Minority Reported this shit.
I did. I heard about it on a different thing from someone else.
Yeah.
But I needed to tell you, and I needed to tell the podcast listening world of... oh, we got a new listener, friend of the show, Solid Snack. I've been like, he's it's funny, I've like met him through friend of the show Man Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then come to find out, I work with him, and he like ended up buying a house over by the auto center. Like, he lives right around the corner from us, from me, and from where, like, kind of down further from where your mom lives, but still. Like, I met him, I had to meet him through a guy on through Xbox Live from a guy that was in, like, upstate New York. So say hi. Say welcome to the show, Solid Snack.
Solid Snack, run away. You have better things to do with your life than listen to this.
It's funny because, like, you know, I'll ask people, it's like, hey, do you listen to podcasts? They're like, why do you do one? I'm like, well, I do, but I'm not going to recommend it. I'm going to recommend a good one.
I feel like that's the best way to recommend the podcast.
Or when people tell me, it's like, hey, I listened to an episode of your podcast, my immediate gut reaction is to say, I'm sorry. Like, immediately, without even thought, it's like, hey, I heard an episode of your podcast. I'm sorry.
Is it just confusion that hits them?
I don't know.
Is it a successful Pokemon move that you accomplished?
Oh man, but yeah, it's funny. Like, hey, people listen to my podcast. Wait, people, shit. Now I feel bad. Like,
oh, so that's what you think of us, Danny? Okay, you fucker.
No, everyone knows that if I say something, like, I've even had people come up to me where it's like, hey, the person said you were talking shit about me. They said you said this. And the response, their response is either, yeah, I knew you said that because you've already told me, or, wait, he wouldn't say that because he's never said that to me. Like, if I talk shit behind your back, it's I'm repeating shit that I've already said to your face.
Mm. Fair enough.
I don't know if that makes it good or not, but that's the kind of person I am. Like, I'm not going to say something behind your back that I'm not either not willing to or have not already said to your face.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not saying that makes me a saint or anything like that, but it's just a thing.
Mm.
Is that like, it's like when people say I'm just being honest or I'm keeping it real?
It's doing something. I don't know exactly what it's doing.
Exactly. And I, you know, at the beginning of the show, Sean, you called me...
Weebalicious.
Weebalicious. That's the word
you use. My weebalicious friend.
But, Sean, you're the official Weeb representative.
Dude, I've officially, like... I've achieved too far in the Weebness. So, like, literally, like...
Stuck a tentacle in your butt?
No.
You haven't gone too far yet.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Then maybe I'll never go that far, too far. So, on my Discord channel with my clan, I'm literally, like, the anime mod on there. And then at work, I'll have random, like, people go, hey... Like, and they're, like, embarrassed, so I'm, like, I'm not sure where the conversation is going, because, you know, like, I'm trying to be, like, a professional manager, and they're, like, hey, I heard you watch anime, and I'm just, like, is this going to be really awkward, or are they just going to really geek out on me right now? And I'm just, like, yeah, and they're, like, oh, my God, I love this anime, and I was, like, what, they're, like, and they, you know, they're, like, usually it goes like, I like anime too, and then the conversation kind of like stops and I feel awkward. So as like the manager, I have to be like, oh, that's cool. Like, and try to give out some PG animes I'm watching and like keep the conversation going. Cause I don't want them to know everything I watch. Just like the innocent stuff that I watch. Cause I still have to be, you know, a professional. So that's my life, man. That's my life.
They don't want you to know about the hentai that you watch.
Why is that always a thing, man? You guys are you and well, the people of my clan are savages.
Well, you're the one that brought up you have to keep it PG and you don't want to let them know the extent of the perverted stuff you watch. So you're the one that implied that it was hentai with the way you were vaguely dancing around the sub. I just wanted to like. Give you a chance to either confirm or deny. I'm helping you, Sean. That's the kind of friend I am.
I just make sure people don't understand my harem addiction. That's all.
Well, if you eliminated, like, if you never recommended a harem anime, can you really recommend an anime? Like, that really limits your anime options.
No, you can. There's plenty of non-harem. I'm just saying,
that's about 80% anime, right?
You're just not very open-minded, Daniel. That's all I know.
No, I'm saying there's a lot of anime, but there's a lot of harem anime.
There is a lot. It doesn't mean that it's all good, either.
It's like grunge. You know, it's like Pearl Jam and Nirvana got big, and so they signed like all these bands, and then 7 Mary 3 came along, and like they're like... Yeah, maybe we can move on to something else.
Maybe we don't need grunge.
Yeah, maybe grunge is past its prime. Even though that one song by 7 Mary 3 was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know the song, Sean? No.
Not off the top.
Hold on, quick. I'm Googling right now. That's why I'm stalling to Google.
I'm blanking.
Cumbersome. Oh, I have become... cumbersome to this world. That song.
I have not heard that song in a long time.
I don't think anybody has. But that was like the one hit that 7 Mary 3 did. And that wasn't a bad song. I'll give them credit for that. But yeah, they're one of the bands. Not necessarily single-handedly, but it was because of them that grunge is dead. you're just dead. And no one cares. Kurt Cobain's a god. I'll see you there.
Yeah. Dude, I'm trying not to tell myself to rewatch Kill la Kill right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's like I always, like, watch, like, the first 12, and then I stop watching it after that. whenever I do. I just want to watch, like, the school battles, and then, like, I'm done. Once it's, like, the... Once her uniform gets, like, cut up, and she has to fight for it and stuff, and it... All the other random plot twists start happening. It's like, I'm not interested in that. It's just the first 12 episodes I want to watch.
Right. As much as I love Mako, my second favorite character is the band leader. And in, even though she's not in it very much, my third favorite is the tennis instructor. the tennis leader. And then the weird, like, fashion designer girl. She's just... Did you watch – I sent a video to the group messenger chat yesterday. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Since I have no idea what you're talking about, I'm probably going to say no, I have not. But, you know, that could just be me forgetting things. Oh, yeah, I totally didn't watch that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like this person does like an in-depth like study or whatever on their anime style talk, because people talk about how the anime on the show is like lazy, and the guy's like, yeah, you guys are fucking idiots, because it's intentional. Like, if you've ever watched anything else by this studio or this director, this isn't the only anime that follows these principles. Like, there's the scene where the fashion designer girl like gets like hit or something like that, and then she turns like two-dimensional and starts spinning around, like, you know, almost like a paper doll.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, that's intentional, not because of budget cuts. Like, people are like, yeah, they did that because they budget and animation cuts. And it's like, no, that's a style choice. Fucking don't be a dumbass.
Yeah. I was thinking about it last night. So while I was showering, I was listening to the Kill la Kill soundtrack because I wanted to, like, relive parts of... I wanted to, like, remember it. Because it's one of those animes that it was, like... It was the anime, like, I really watched and kind of, for whatever reason, kind of, like, focused on it after I moved to Ohio with all the drama that went on. It was, like, one of the... That's why I think I liked Kill la Kill so much, is because it was, like, the right anime to watch at the right time about, like, overcoming struggles. But, like, Kill la Kill is just so much different than everything. Like, it's a very, like you said, like, everything they did was very intentional and constructed a certain way, like, from the art, the characters, everything was just, it's about Kill la Kill, it's just, like, set up perfectly.
Right. And just, like, the character, like, not just the character design, but the way the characters interact, you know. And I've been, like, it's funny, I haven't watched the anime, but I get caught watching all the different, like, YouTube things where it's, like, the funny, like, the Mako's greatest scenes or this character's greatest scenes, you know? And there was one that talked about the big guy that was the school's head of discipline.
Yeah.
And how he did not put up with anybody else's shit except for Mako.
True. It's almost like in the perfect world, like, Mako and him, like, married and lived together after all this blew over.
Right. Well, I saw an anime, another video. I didn't watch it, but the thumbnail, but it was in the thumbnail. So it was the top 10 anime ships, and the thumbnail was the scene where she's like, you know, like, if you want to fight, let's fight, and, like, on the bench or whatever, and he's just sitting there, like, after being defeated and all, and she's just like, she realizes that he's sitting there, and she starts, like, swinging her arms like she's gonna fight him, so it's like a steal from that scene. But it's like, apparently, we're not the only ones that think they would make the perfect, like, ship couple. Because there's, like, that one scene in the show where, like, it's like the one day where, like, you can't be late for school, and Ryuku shows up in her pajamas, and he's just, like, tearing her down. And then Mako jumps up on the platform with him, and it's like, you know, she had to be here on time, and you sleep in pajamas too. I sleep in pajamas. My pajamas have, you know, Mount Fuji, three eagles, and a wolf or something like that. And he's just like, but he doesn't say anything back. Like, he just, like, basically, like, he's like, fine, I'll let it go this time.
It's like he has a secret crush on her.
Right. Or exactly. So, but you did watch a new anime, Sean.
I did. I watched Tada Never Falls in Love. So this is a straight-to-anime story. This was not a light novel or a manga before. It's a story about a gentleman who really, like, focuses on photography and trying to be the best, and he has a backstory where his, like, parents died and his dad was a professional photographer, and their work is very similar, and he bumps into kind of a girl, and he ends up, like, you know, obviously he falls in love because it says he's not supposed to, and he's always been cold growing up because, you know, he lost his parents. It was a very fun romance comedy story, and I literally had to keep watching it because it was just so fun to watch, and it was dramatic, and it had, like, very, as you knew, like, you knew pieces of the story, and you knew where the storm was going to come, and you're like, man, this is going to be great. And then the anime finishes, and, like, literally, the anime finished, it was just, like, in the last episode, in the last 5 minutes, it was like, okay, problem's fixed, everybody's happy, the couple is, you know, together, and everything's cool. And it's like, that's the ending you gave. A quick 5 minutes wrap-up of everything's gonna be okay. It was like one of those ones where, you know, you're just, you really love it, but because of the ending, it's almost like you want to hate it because everything else was so beautifully done, and then it was just, the conclusion was just, like, left you, like, jaw-dropping.
Okay, yeah, and, like, the podcast that I heard the whole, like, Kill la Kill story on, because Kill la Kill was another one like that where it wasn't a manga before it was an anime.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it almost seems like, and I'm not going to say necessarily better, but because, you know, that's one of the complaints that people in the anime, like, fans or whatever, and the same thing with books, movies with books, whereas, like, if you read the story and then you watch the show, like, the director is, like, their hands are tied if there's, like, the source material is too set.
Mm-hmm.
Versus something like this. It might not work out. It's like, you know, I mean, you brew beer and you know what you're doing. And even, like, professional brewers, they know what they're doing, but sometimes shit just goes wrong and it just doesn't work out, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you had Jamie Conway, I remembered his name, like, literally after I recorded the show, from Core Brewing in Arkansas. Like, they talked about, you know, like, how he's had to dump out probably way more beer in one batch than you've brewed in your entire brewing career because mm-hmm. it just didn't work out. So, when you make, and that's the problem with making something original is that you don't know where it's going to go until it's done, right?
Yeah, and I feel like it was almost like they needed a couple more episodes because it's a 13-episode anime, and it's just kind of like, if this was an original piece, why didn't it get written out better? Like, was it funding? Was it this or that? Maybe it was because there's other like, some of the side characters had interesting relationships that you were kind of also waiting to see, like, what happened, and they were never answered. So it's almost like, was there a season two supposed to happen, or was it, like, they were, like, projected a story and then they were told to cut it short? Like, what did that look like? It's all, because that's, right, like, the biggest thing is, like, you know, because if you would have told me before the last episode what I thought, I'd be like, I would totally recommend it. And, like, now it's like, I want to recommend it, but it's like, I have to put the but, you know, but the ending kind of sucks.
Right. And I wonder if it's a thing of they thought they were going to get, like, 20, because it's weird because they have a 13-episode season. Usually it's like 12 or 24 or 26, not mm-hmm. necessarily 13.
Exactly.
And so I wonder if they're going to get like a 20-something episode season, and then they wrote it for that many episodes, and they're like, oh, by the way, you're going to only get 13 episodes, like 12 episodes even. They're like, well, we need to wrap it up. And they're like, okay, we'll give you one more. Wrap that shit up.
But wrap that shit up tight, bitch.
Right. And then you told me you were watching an anime, so I ended up watching it as well, called Beastars.
And you finished it before me.
Right. And you made the same comment that my wife did too. Both of you sweet, sweet, innocent children. Of wow, because I literally binged it in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were like, wow, you must have really enjoyed it. And this anime made me realize something, Sean.
That you're a fucking furry.
As much as it's like cool to hate on like the whole like dubs versus subs thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like only cool kids watch subs, and dude, it's so much easier to watch an anime with that's dubbed as opposed to subtitled. Like, I can sit there and like I was like fucking around on my phone and like playing a game on my phone, browsing Reddit, and keeping up versus having to like actually pay attention.
You're not a true weeb. And so I think
exactly. That's why I'm like, why are you calling me Weebalicious when you're the fucking weeb lord of the show, dude? You're our official weeb representative. But that's part of the reason I was able to binge it in one day. Not necessarily that it was like a great show or a bad show, but it was just, you know, there's a game that I play, a cell phone game, where like once a week they have like a weekly game, like a weekly challenge. And so I kind of just try to like not do anything while that's going on so I can like do that. I'm like, wow, I can have this anime playing in the background while I'm doing my weekly cell phone game challenge.
Oh boy.
So, but that being said, so basically, you know, when you sent me the show, I was like, even without like just reading the description, I was like, that looks like a more like mature version of Zootopia.
It's definitely a very intense anime, you know, and story where, like you said, it's a very adult. It feels very adult with the different killings and different like themes going on. It's very, it's fucking very intense, man. Like sometimes, like it was just like, you get into it. It was one of those ones where you get very into it, but you know, as you start watching it, like things are kind of off. It's like very. Sometimes I felt it was very artsy. Other times I felt like it was very like, you know, furry-ish. It was a very intense roller coaster, but it was very well done. I really liked the conflict. I liked the character development in the show. I thought everything felt really nice. And when I looked it up on Google and saw that the second season is supposed to be out by the end of the year, I was like, dude, we're going to find out so much more shit soon.
Right. Like, the main character, the Grey Wolf, like, his, like, him being torn between, like, just being, like, a decent person and hanging out at the school versus, like, wanting to be like a carnivore and like eating his friends, right? And then like every show, like before every episode, it was like nudity, and then like the white rabbit threatened to take off her clothes, but she never did. Fucking what's up with that, dude?
I don't know, that's probably for your soccer moms out there. They couldn't handle it.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here though, Sean, and probably say this isn't gonna be one that you're gonna recommend to one of your underlings at work unless you know them well. If it's one of the randoms that seem embarrassed to, like, ask if you like anime, you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, dude, I just finished this one anime called Beastars. You should check it out.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to recommend it to anybody.
Right. You know, and, like...
Oh, I didn't recommend it at work, but I did recommend it on my clan group. And I actually got somebody to... said that they're going to watch it now. They were on the fence, and now they're going to watch it.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad show, but again, it's not something you want to, like, recommend at work to somebody you don't know that.
Yeah.
Like, if it's somebody you've, like, maybe hung out with or talked to for a while, and, like, you've had anime conversations for a while versus, like, hey, Sean, yeah, I heard you... Do you like anime? Like, that's not the guy that you're going to recommend it to.
I'm just going to be like, I watch Beastars. What do you got on it? What do you got on me?
Right. But, you know, saying that it's like a, you know, so I heard somebody else talk about how, like, people say that it's an adult, more adult version of Zootopia, and that person was like, I don't agree. And I'm like, I mean, for a super simple explanation, yes. But to me, it's not even necessarily an adult version. It's kind of like how, you know, there's the Archie comics where, like, Archie and Jughead and Betty and Veronica are just, like, wholesome and great, pure, and, like, all-American. And then you have the CW show. I can't even think of the name of the show, but it's The Town Where They Live. But it's, like, you know, Archie, but CW'd, where there's, like, people sleeping with everybody and intrigue and murder and double-crossing and backstabbing and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's like they took Zootopia and gave it the CW treatment.
Yeah, I felt like they really allowed, because I think they had, for the main character to be lovable, they really had to make it to where he had to fight his inner beast versus, you know, what he wanted. Because you had to have people that, you know, they had the lion mafia that didn't care about killing other animals to eat and stuff versus following, like, their vegetarian path. So it made sense. Like, they had to make an adult, like, kind of realm so that way the character could flourish and deal with his conflict.
Right. And even, like, the rabbit, like, the white bunny, the issue she dealt with, like, of being bullied and, like, you know, the guys all liking her because she's like, you know, her fur was all white and she was just different. And then the girlfriend's like kind of bullying her because the boyfriend liked her. And it's like, well, why are you mad at me? Why aren't you mad at your boyfriend? Like, I'm just being me. Your boyfriend's the asshole for cheating on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I really laughed at that part. I was like, dude, like, get your boyfriend in check if he's like that afraid to try to do anything, or he doesn't respect you enough. It was kind of
right. Yeah. You're blaming the wrong, and that happens in real life where it's like, you know, the person that gets cheated on goes after the person as opposed to their significant other,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's that other person isn't the problem. It's your significant other, and as much as you don't want to admit it, but even like her character arc where like she revealed why she kind of was, because she had a reputation for being promiscuous and kind of why she was promiscuous,
mm-hmm.
was kind of like, fuck, that's fucked up, and it makes sense. Like, again, very CW, but in a, and I'm not insulting the show, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, like, the CW shows like to enhance the drama. You know?
Exactly. I thought the ending was very interesting where I didn't really expect the rabbit to get kidnapped by the mafia. I thought it was a very interesting pull on, because they really had, like, you know, the rabbit was really into the main deer guy, and he was super, and he was kind of very like, you know, I'm already like in a pre-marriage, this is just for kind of fun, yada yada yada. It was almost like something had to happen to help break the rabbit away from the deer to go to the wolf, so that way it could set up the next conflict in season two, which I thought it was. I really liked the way they did it to break her away from him.
Right, and even the like that character, like upon first glance, you just thought he was an asshole.
Yeah,
and then you saw his past, and you're like, holy fuck, that makes sense. Like, this is one of the few animes, you know, as much as I love Kill la Kill, like, they tell you the story from a certain point forward with maybe some minor backstory, but not much. This character, this anime, Beastars, is more full of backstory than any anime I could think of, and justification for character behaviors. Like, it's super well thought out.
No, I totally agree. I think it's sad that they use animals, but it made a lot of sense why, to go into the stories and the personal, you know, to deal with the natural instinct versus, you know, the subconscious of them trying to be everybody live along. But no, I thought the deer, I thought the deer's pass was very, was ridiculous. It was like, what the hell? And then it's like, how does this other deer just stroll into the den and deal with that stuff? And it was, you're absolutely right. Like, everything had a reason. Everything was just very creative on how it was done. And it's kind of sad that, you know, everything about, like, the whole furry industry is going to, like, taint this well-written anime. I was almost saying it was, like, it's like the modern-day, like, Animal Farm. Like, nobody thinks Animal Farm is weird. But here, like, it's kind of weird.
Right. You know, on the surface, it's like, you know, it's like there's all those memes where it's like, like the Witcher video game is definitely one that gets memed a lot this way, where it's like when I'm playing the game alone and it's like you're battling something, and then it's like when my parents walk in and it's like Yennefer like topless, you know? It's like this show. You know, it's like this show. It's like, you know, if people just see that it's like, oh, it's animals, it's furry, it's a furry anime, or it's this, or, you know, like it's very easy to dismiss this anime on the surface level of either like reading the description and seeing the character design, but then you're going to miss out on something well written, well thought out. Like, I mean, again, I watched it one day, and I'm not, again, I watched it because it was a lot easy. It was easy to watch, but it was also easy to watch because it was intriguing. And like, they didn't create artificial, it wasn't like The Walking Dead, you know, The Walking Dead, like the first 10 minutes of every episode was amazing. And then you're watching it and you're like, wait, why the fuck am I watching this show? And then the last 10 minutes happen and it's like, holy shit, I have to see what happens next week. Like, you forget that the middle 40 minutes suck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And this anime, this one, the show Beastars, the way the show ended, it wasn't like artificial, like what'll happen next. It's more a thing of, it just flowed with the story. They didn't peak. The peak at the end of the show wasn't very high.
Mm-hmm.
And the peak at the beginning of the next episode wasn't very high. It was just a natural progression of, wait, what just happened? I need to see what happens next.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. It was just like, I got to a point, like, it would be like late at night. I'm like, dude, I got to go to work. Like, I literally have to stop watching this but I was like, dude, I have to know what happens, because it just, the storytelling is just so incredible in this one.
Right. And that was the other reason why I binged it too, was because Mondays are like my early days. So I get off work early. So I have more time before my wife gets home. And so I'm like, well, if I don't finish this today, I'll probably forget about it and not finish it. And so,
and I'm the, like, storytelling said no, no, no.
Right, because it's what 12, 24 minute episodes.
Yeah.
So it's 5 hours, 5.5 hours, whatever. It's easy to binge watch in a day, especially if you're being quarantined. highly
recommend the show. Exactly.
Even of being furry porn.
If you're not into furry porn, there's always zombies, Danny. You made me do some homework, which I rage quit. But Resident Evil 3 demo came out.
I wanted to hear, like, part of me wanted to hear you play it. Like, wanted you to play it because I wanted to hear if you were as much of a dumbass as I was.
Honestly, so, if it was like you were supposed to just run away from zombies all day, unless you really had to get close to them, then yeah, I did not play the game well.
Then you didn't play the game well. Because I made it to the end of the demo. And it took me a lot longer because I thought you had to backtrack at a certain point. And I tried to, and I went to backtrack, and like the door was like locked. Like basically blocked, and you couldn't go back that way. And I'm like, walking around looking for something, and finally I'm like, wait, there's this door over. Literally, like, after like walking around for like a good 20 to 30 minutes, I finally like, hey, there's this door over here I've walked by like 10 times at least. I'm just gonna check it out. And I walked through the door, and it was the end of the demo.
That's pretty funny. I was just getting mad because basically, like, you're supposed to be, like, this super special force person. And then, like, when you run out of bullets, your knife is, you might as well just have a banana. Because, like, your knife does, like, nothing. And it's just kind of, like, I was very frustrated. I'm like, why can't a special force person kill a zombie with a knife? Why can't they? Like, why is it I'm, like, stabbing this zombie and somehow it, like, grapples me and like, bites me and kills me? I was, like, getting so upset.
Have you ever played a Resident Evil game before, Sean?
No, but I feel like everybody in the special forces is really special and not, like, you know, kick-ass.
Well, especially, like, the first couple, like, they, like, and to the point where people were mad in, like, the 5 and 6, that, like, number one was, like, the biggest one where, yeah, you had to run away from a lot of the zombies. Like, basically, your bullets were there in case you fucked up and didn't run away fast enough. And you know what? I will admit this on the show, Sean. And this is why I want you to, like, go on our Twitch account more for the podcast, because I will say this: you are a better gamer than I am.
I need to get my phone up. What'd you say? Let me record this.
No. I've told other people this. I've told friend of the show Man Thing. I've told other people you are, like. When it comes to, like, especially shooters, you are a better gamer than I am. That being said, you fucking suck at Resident Evil. Because not only did I not run out of bullets, I had an excess at the end of the game, at the end of the demo. Were you not picking up drops? Because they had the gunpowder where you can make bullets.
I did find some gunpowder, but I'd be, like, popping zombies in the head. It would take... But it was like I'd pop them like two in the head and they would still be walking. I was just like,
right.
I was like, come on. And then
that's the good Resident Evil.
Yeah.
That's Resident Evil. Like the first handgun fucking might as well be a pea shooter. Cause it like I was getting frustrated too. Like I would shoot the zombie in the head like 10 times and then I'd be like, okay, he's dead. And then he gets up and it's like, motherfucker. And basically until you almost have to like follow the zombie land rule. If they're down, shoot them again just to make sure they're down, because if they're dead, they'll stay dead. But if they're not dead, then they'll, like, move. And you're like, okay, you're going to get up anyway, so I might as well keep shooting you since you're down. But that's kind of the point of Resident Evil. Isn't, like, the first, like, handful, like, the first couple, like three or four, it was more about, like, survival as opposed to, like, just run and gun. Like, 5 and 6 were more action. Like, you had all the ammo you needed. Did you get the shotgun?
No, dude, I barely even made it in the room before I rage quit. Like, I got into the tower, I think, and then I went into a room, and it was like, she was like, this seems like an interesting room, and it was like, nothing worked, and I'm like, I have no bullets, I had to sacrifice myself to get bit, because I can't run through this hall, because I have no ammo. I was like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, you're not a Resident Evil player. You suck at that game. You suck at that worse than I suck at being in Destiny. And I suck in Destiny.
Yeah.
Mike and Echo.
Dude, I'm so bummed Destiny sucks right now, man. I don't even know why you brought Destiny up. It hurts my soul.
That's why I brought it up. I wanted to hurt you.
Yeah, you did, you fucker.
You should buy The Division. I tried to get you to buy The Division already. It's like $30 at Best Buy for like the $100 version, where you get like the first season and a bunch of like special weapons and stuff.
Maybe. I can't ever get into those military games.
It's nothing like real life, where like a virus has wiped out a large portion of the population and you have to rescue Washington, D.C. from the people that unleashed it.
So the coronavirus?
It's like, I don't know what they call it in the game, but it's basically like, but it came out way before this, so I don't know. Gotcha. It's weird, but I just started it, so I'm like at the first, like, I made my character and I got to the point where I'm at the first, like, event where I need someone, like, I can, like, play with other people. So I might have to like hit up friend of the show man thing, or there's another podcast I listen to called In Quest of Geek, and one of their hosts and two other hosts play the Division. So maybe I'll like see if I can harass them into like joining me for a game, and we can jump on Twitch and we can all make fun of me stuck in the games.
Yeah. And then you convince them to join us for our 150th episode.
Maybe, yes.
Too far. Too far.
So
you're not attractive enough.
Yes, too soon. What's that?
I said you're not attractive enough to get them just to jump on the show.
I do have a face for podcasting. Like my wife said, and I'll say this every chance I get because it's hilarious, and it makes she gets kind of like frustrated because she's like, I didn't mean it that way, but when I first grew up my beard, she was like, I like it. I like your beard. It covers your face. And I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, she said it again, and I'm like, you like my beard because it covers my face. And she's like, that's not what I meant. And I'm like, but that's what you said twice.
Twice. Dos. Dos. I'm that far with my beard is I can't even remember the time that I had a clean face. Like, now the joke is I was born with a beard. Like, that's how far I've gone into the beard world.
Yeah, I've had a beard for, I mean, it's probably been 6 to 8 years that I've had my full beard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I only shaved and, it, like once at Home Depot. Like, I was only beardless, like, for one time.
Right. Like, I've worked with people, like, because I remember at one point, somebody I worked with, I've worked with her for a couple of years. She's like, have you ever not had a beard? And I showed her the picture, and she's like, yeah, you should keep the beard. That's usually the consensus comment whenever I tell people, like, I show them the picture of me without a beard. They're like, yeah, you should just keep the beard.
Keep that on your face. It adds the ugly.
Everyone's in agreement with my wife that the beard covers my face. Now, if I could just get like a... But I did have to trim my beard, dude. My beard was actually longer than yours. Again, I had let it grow for like 3 months.
Yeah, I think you definitely talked to the beard. I think I still have the longest beard currently, but I think you still have the all-time lead.
No, I grew it even longer. I had to shave it recently because wearing the mask, there was a point where like one day I was wearing a face mask because of the whole thing, and it was like in my mouth the whole day.
Dude,
I just got tired of sucking on my beard.
The mask life sucks with a beard. I'm trying to remain positive.
And I knew it was going to get hot, you know, so I'm like, dude, I'm not going to deal with this shit when it's hot. I'm like, it's got to die. So I trimmed it down back to like its shortest, where I just used like the 6-length clip. But it was probably a good 3 or 4 inches long again.
Gotcha.
So
fair enough.
Because there's this baseball league in Riverside, like in Southern California. It's like a vintage baseball league where they play by like the like original rules of baseball and like wear like the old time uniforms like they did in the movie Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a best beard contest at every game. So I started like I think the last time I shaved right before Christmas. Like, I cleaned it up for family for Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was the last time I trimmed my ball. I grew it out. So I wanted to win that shit. That's the other reason why I didn't mind shaving it so much, because, like, they had to postpone all the games because of all this fucking COVID-19, so.
Yeah.
Bullshit, man. But, I'm going back and watching movies, man. I watched this movie called The Mule. And it's directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Clint Eastwood. And basically, like, Clint Eastwood is this... you saw the picture, right, Sean?
I did see the picture.
It's bad, isn't it?
It's terrible. Oh, man.
That's why I have a beard. Like, your comment, your face is so weird. Thank you, I appreciate that. Asshole. Your face is weird. Cover it with a beard.
Oh, man.
But, so basically this movie, Clint Eastwood is a horticulturist. Like, he works with flowers and stuff, and they show a scene, like, 20 years ago, and he goes to a convention, and he's, like, the king of the convention, but, like, he doesn't, like, he ignores his family to do all these events. Like, he's missing his daughter's wedding to go to be at a flower convention. And when he's walking through, this guy's like, yeah, look, the internet, it's the newest thing. And he's like, the internet's never going to be a thing. Fucking idiots. And then, like, it fast forwards 20 years later and his farm's being foreclosed on. And so he goes to his granddaughter's, like, engagement party. And he ends up being recruited to be a drug mule for the cartel. And Bradley Cooper plays, like, the lead investigator for the DEA, like, chasing him down. Have you ever seen the movie Heat, Sean?
No, I didn't.
I mean, I knew you wouldn't because you're not a real man, according to some people. Like, that's one of those, like, quote-unquote movies.
I get in touch with my feelings after watching Beastars. I don't need to worry about some kind of stupid manly movie about smuggling drugs.
I thought you were going to say you get in touch with your feelings, listen to the Kill la Kill soundtrack in the shower.
Don't lose your way!
But, so there's a scene in Heat that everyone kind of was, like, anticipating, because it was the first time that De Niro and Pacino were on screen together at the same time. Like, they'd have been in movies together, a couple movies, like, one of the Godfather movies and stuff, but they just never were on screen together. And so there's a scene where they're at this diner, and it's, like, super intense and super dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of try to replay that scene in The Mule with Clint Eastwood and Bradley Cooper. But it just doesn't work. It doesn't have the same dramatic effect. It's kind of weird. Like, they try to do all these different things, but it just doesn't have the same dramatic effect.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no,
it does. But it's based on a true story. So Clint Eastwood is playing this dude that actually, like, this old dude that was, like, a drug mule. And, I don't know. If you want to watch, like, if you want to, like, be a completionist and watch all the Clint Eastwood movies, then this is a movie you should watch. But if not, then you're cool not watching it.
Fair enough.
But then there's a genre of movies that when they're done well, I really love. But is submarine movies. Like, one of my favorite all-time movies is The Hunt for Red October.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched this movie called Hunter Killer. So basically there's, like, a class of submarines that go out and hunt down others. They're basically armed and equipped to chase down other submarines. And so there's a lot of, like, cliches in this movie, like tensions with Russia, and the Gerard Butler is the star, and he's, like, a first-time, like, submarine captain. Like, he didn't go through Annapolis. How dare him, right?
That bastard.
But then, all the decisions he makes work out because he was, like, he did all the jobs in the submarine. And he was good at them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, there's some things in this movie that they do. Like, so the main cast of the movie, they have Gary Oldman, Common, the rapper turned actor. And it's funny how, like, I've watched, like literally 3 weeks in a row, I watched a movie with her. Linda Cardellini.
You got a crush, Danny.
Dude, ever since Freaks and Geeks, I've fucking, like, had a crush on her. I don't know, man. And I even told my wife, like, I was watching a movie with her, and I was like, you know, she's looking her age. And it's like, I know for a woman, like, sometimes people mean that as an insult, but she doesn't, like, look young. Like, she looks like she's an adult. Like, I saw this thing on Reddit, and it was a response from this weather lady to another woman that wrote in complaining that she needs to, like, she should probably watch her, like, pre-show video or what more, because her belly is sticking over her dress, and that's, like, distracting the woman that was complaining from, like, seeing the weather. And she's like, look, And, like, the lady complained, she's like, maybe you could wear a girdle or, like, different outfits. And the lady's like, look, I'm not wearing a fucking girdle. I like to eat carbohydrates and I like cheese. I don't give a shit that I have a belly. I'm not doing it to make you happy. You know, and, like, there was, like, a newscaster somewhere, this dude, because it was like a, you know, they always have, like, the co-anchors where it's a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was getting complaints about her makeup, her outfit. And so the dude literally wore the same suit for a year. And his goal was he was going to wear it until somebody noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore it a year. And at the year anniversary, he's like, look, what the fuck is wrong with you people? I've been wearing the same suit for a year. And nobody said a word, but she's gotten all these complaints. Like, leave her alone. Don't be assholes. But anyways, yeah, like, there's a lot of stuff they do in this. You know, it's kind of hard anymore, like, to make something original, right? Because, especially when studios, because if you come up with an original idea, they're not sure it's going to work. And that's, movie studios don't care about making art. They care about making money. Which is how, like, Marvel gets, you know, people that complain that Marvel movies keep getting made, or sequels, or remakes. Well, if you don't go watch remakes, like the Disney live-action movies, they keep making them because they make money, not because they want to make art.
True that.
And so, like, something like this, there's a lot of, like, cliches that kind of happen, but they kind of, you know, it feels like those things have to happen because the studio wouldn't put the money forward if they're not going to, like, have these moments. But there's also a lot of kind of moments where they do some interesting stuff in it. If you're a fan of, like, military movies or, like, just tense dramas, or Gerard Butler and Gary Oldman, I highly recommend this movie. It's up there, like, with my favorite. There's the Denzel Washington movie, Crimson Tide, or The Hunt for Red October, or the all-time underrated classic, Down Periscope. Did you ever watch that one, Sean?
No, I didn't watch that one.
That's a comedy that's actually, like, surprisingly good. It has, I can't remember the name of the actress, but there's a scene where they, like, prank her by, like, shrinking her uniform. And so, like, the next day for inspection, they come out and, like, her pants are just barely fitting and her, like, shirt can't button. And, but she's not going to, you know, like, standard military movie, she's not going to name the people that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Captain Kelsey response was like, and I quote this a lot whenever I see, like, somebody who, wherever the situation is needed, but his direction, his quote to her is, you're almost out of uniform. Just because it's so ill-fitting. So whenever, like, I see somebody wearing, like a girl wearing, like, minimal amount of clothing, my response to my wife is always, she's almost out of uniform.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I actually enjoyed this movie. I was almost skeptical to watch it, but, you know, he didn't quite, because Gerard Butler also is, like, the super hardcore secret agent in the, London Has Fallen and Washington Has Fallen movies. There's, like, a trilogy where he's, like, the best Secret Service agent ever in the history of secret agents. But yeah, I don't know. It's not quite as, like, intense as his role in 300.
Mm.
He doesn't have the abs. He doesn't have the abs anymore.
No.
And there's no holes to kick people into in a submarine. This is submarine! All right, man.
There's no... No. It is that time of the show, Danny, where we're all out of fun topics to discuss and make stupid memes and references to. Yes. And the beer's out. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I just have no more beer. I can't tolerate talking to you anymore.
Dude, I've been getting emails the last couple days from teaparty.org. I think somebody fucking trolled me and signed me up for teaparty.org.
Probably. That definitely could be a possibility.
I mean, it could be worse. I guess it could be lemonparty.org. Do you know what Lemon Party is, Sean?
No. What is lemonparty.org? And I'm scared.
It's the best way to troll somebody into like who's like intense into politics. They're like, yeah, what political party are you in? I'm in the Lemon Party. Here's the website. It's basically like really old dudes having sex with each other.
That's gross.
Like, it is. This guy I used to work with got like trolled his mom into like going to the website.
Wow. Went after his mom.
Yes. Oh, but yeah, geez. That's what Lemon Party is. Lemon Party is like old dudes like blowing each other. Oh. But like by old dudes, I mean like 70s.
Jeez. I don't even know where this show is going anymore. Sadness. Despair. Make sure you follow
it's
us.
It's all your fault. I'm going to say it's your fault for not ending it fast enough.
Make sure you don't follow us on Podbean, Instagram, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, all those magical places.
Yeah, and Untapped, give us a review. I apologize that you've listened this long. Live long and prosper.
When an episode should only take 35 minutes, but the guys bullshit it and make it 120 minutes. Boom.
Exactly.
Not 120. An hour 20 minutes. Boom.
There you go. Math is
hard. Math is hard.
I saw a meme and it was like somebody counting down from 100 and it was like 100, 59, 58. And it was like, where's somebody count like that? It's like from my microwave.
Remember,
all right, I ended up on a good note.
Yeah, goodbye. Exactly. We'll see you. It'll be here next time.